You're listening to WUKY 91.3 FM. This is Hillbilly Solid, and I am your host, Silas House. We're real lucky to have two great folks in our studios today. Joining me for the second half of the show are Savannah Sipple and Jay McCoy. They wear many hats. They're both poets. Jay already has one book out, and Savannah has one coming out this year. Most importantly for us today, they're both booksellers, and they love books, which is important for booksellers. They recently saw their dream come true when they opened a new bookstore in the Chevy Chase neighborhood of Lexington. The store is called Briar Books, and it's not only a place to buy books, it's also a community center. They're joining me today to talk about the importance of bookstores and about some of their favorite recent reads. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I appreciate you being here. First of all, you know, I love the name of your store, Briar Books. So I wanted you to tell everybody why you named it that.
Well, the shortest answer is the name comes directly from Jim Wayne Miller's The Briar Sermon and all of his poems with the briar as a primary character, being that, as Jim said, the quintessential Appalachian. And that's what it pulls from.
Right. And that poem is also so much about retaining community and the loss of community and taking that back. And so it works on lots of levels, doesn't it? Not just as an homage to Jim Wayne, but...
It really does. And it's a lot about remaining true to the best parts of yourself.
Right.
And Jay and I met at the Appalachian Writers Workshop in Hyman. And that poem is also very important. And Jim Wayne was very important to that workshop. And so when we were talking about choosing a name that represented us and our friendship, but also the best parts of us, that was one of the things that came up, and we fell in love with it. So.
Right. Well, all three of us are from Eastern Kentucky, and so I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up, one of the main things that I wanted to do was to go to Lexington, to go to the bookstore. And so I've heard y'all say before that Briar Books is not just meant to serve Lexington, but the whole area. So can you talk a little bit about that and how it is serving the region?
Well, one of the things we talked about when we talked about what we envisioned for our bookstore was how can we serve parts of Eastern Kentucky or even other parts of the state where there aren't local independent bookshops or any bookshops for that matter. So one of the things that we have committed to doing is pop-up shops in parts of Eastern Kentucky.
Okay.
We have one scheduled in March in Hazard, and we're working to get some scheduled in other parts of the state. And so that's something that's just going to be it's part of our business model. It's how we'll work. There are also different events and artist sort of workshops and things that we'll be going to set up to have those kinds of things there. So we're excited about it. I can't imagine what it would have been like if we'd had a bookshop in my hometown or anywhere near my hometown.
Yeah.
And
we couldn't even order books offline then. So,
right. Yeah. The closest thing we had was the Scholastic...
The Book Fair.
Book Fair. Yeah, that's what it's called. And I loved it.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of sort of building a cross between the book fair and the pop-up shop, and that's what we're setting out to do. So,
well, despite that lack of bookstores in Eastern Kentucky, we really are blessed in this area to have some great indie bookshops. Mm-hmm. In Lexington, we not only have Briar Books, but we also have the Wild Fig, Joseph Beth, the Black Swan. Special Media always has a good selection of books. Mm-hmm. There's a new store that's just opened in Versailles called Rabbit House Books. Mm-hmm. There's Poor Richards in Frankfurt. We have Carmichael's in Louisville. Mm-hmm. Down in Berea, we have Roby. So while the rest of the world tends to think of us as illiterate, we're in pretty good shape here in Kentucky, actually. And one of the great stores in Kentucky up until very recently was Morris Books, the Morris Bookshop, I should say.
Right.
It was a really beloved store, and it closed. And I know, Jay, you worked there. And would you say that Morris's closing gave birth to Briar Books in a way?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. It was actually what I would consider the impetus for Briar Books to come into reality. I was the general manager at Morris for a number of years, and when Wynn decided to get out of the book business, he basically said, well, you need to open your own. And Wynn was a great supporter of us and getting us started, and you'll recognize the books, the bookshelves in Briar as being those from Morris, or you'll see the cubes from the kids section. And so we are definitely tied to Morris going away and Briar coming into existence.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, sometimes you'll see articles that'll say nobody reads anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see these articles that say bookshops are having a huge comeback and that people won't, especially won't something to hold in their hands, you know, a real book. What's the truth in all that? Are bookshops back, or are they dying, or what?
Independent bookshops are doing well, and they're growing. Some of the bigger box stores, I think, are struggling more. Mm-hmm. We've seen that with the closing of Borders and the way some of the other ones keep changing what they offer. But I think part of why independent bookshops tend to do well is their focus on community.
Right. Well, can you all talk a little bit about some of the ways that you are using your bookstore to be a community center and even, you know, be a center for activism? I mean, I know y'all are doing workshops and author events. Can you talk about some of those things?
We definitely see the shop as a form of activism for us. It's a way for us to serve the community, but to also be an inclusive space. We start with things like stocking local authors and hosting them for events. We've been very deliberate about having a wide selection of Kentucky authors and Appalachian authors, and that's one thing we're very proud of. We also stock our shelves based on what the community wants and what they need and what they're buying, which is just probably smart of us, but also we take suggestions from people who come into the shop, and it's how we found some fantastic reads that do well in the shop. We support local artists and artisans. The sideline items, the non-book items that we sell, are by local people. So we have handmade journals, handmade soaps and boxes and wooden toys and things like that. So that's part of how we've done that. We also partner with local businesses like Pet Wants for events. But then we're also giving back to the community by doing fundraisers for nonprofits like Step by Step. And so 5% of our sales every Monday goes to Step by Step. And we'll partner with them for a year and then choose another partner next year.
Yeah.
I mean, part of being inclusive means getting the community out into the shop, but also being relevant to the community. And so we're starting a discussion series called The Front Porch. And it's a throwback to our Appalachian roots.
Mm-hmm.
We like to porch sit. So we will be hosting a community discussion series where we'll pick a topic that's relevant to Lexington and Kentucky and therefore relevant to the greater world we exist in. Part of those will be dedicated to LGBTQ issues because it's important to us that we support that community. So we have a lot of different ways we're getting involved. We're also open to other ways we can be involved, and we're more than happy to listen to what the community wants from us and how we can help serve them.
Well, Jay, with that in mind, can you think of a particular author event that had a big impact on you, whether it was at Morris when you worked there or just one you've attended?
Yeah, I can think back of one at Morris that really stood out for me and sort of solidified my we need to do this type of thing is Keith Stewart's event for his wonderful book, Bernadette Peters Hates Me, his collection of essays. It was that event that you could really feel the community of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Keith is such a fantastic humorist and writer and just a talker. I could sit and listen to him for hours talk about that. But he brought in such a wide variety of folks for that event that it was people from the eastern part of the state, people from the western part of the state, people from all over, people from the city, people from the mountains. And everyone was there having a good time and laughing and really experiencing a piece of life.
Right.
And that you get authors like that who are willing to be themselves and be personal and expose everything and their flaws and laugh at it and have a good time with it. And then you have people then that are open to that and sitting around and talking about those things.
Right. That makes me think about how, you know, there was this period in American literature where so many of the great writers were together in Paris, you know, all these expatriates. And to some degree, Lexington has always been that for Kentuckians, hasn't it? Like, that's where the expatriate artists come.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because we started out buying books here, and that was where we were able to see writers. And then you just sort of end up settling here. So you definitely could see that at Keith's Reading with people knowing that that was the place to go. This is Hillbilly Solid here on WUKY 91.3. This is Silas House, and we're visiting with booksellers and writers Savannah Sipple and Jay McCoy. I'd like for both of you to answer this, if you could. Why is reading so important to you? Why do books matter?
I would say books have always been a part of my life since I was young. Like Savannah had mentioned earlier about the Scholastic Fairs and the books coming, and I just remember that being an integral part of my school year, being able to get those books. And I remember in third grade getting Scott Odell's The Island of the Blue Dolphins.
I love that book.
And it was just – it's the first book that I remember that really opened my mind up to – really the exploration and just looking for things to do with that. And it's been something that my mother had always encouraged me to read. I had an aunt who was an avid reader that would hand me books that were well above my reading level but would challenge me to read that. And it's one of those – it was a means of escaping and exploring – but it was also a means of knowing that there was so much more to the world than what I was seeing in my little corner of it.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I've always carried with me.
Right. I think what you said with about it just expanding our perspective has been huge. I've always loved to read. My mother and grandmother instilled that in me, and I would carry stacks of books around the house and follow them until they would stop and read to me. And so I've always just loved books, but a huge part of that was because I grew up in a fairly homogenous place, and opportunities were limited, and so books offered worlds to me and perspectives to me that I was not familiar with. Wow. And so as an adult, what I can see is that it's made me a more – reading has made me more empathetic, more understanding. Mm-hmm. It's helped me look past my own experiences to consider the experiences of other people. It's also done things like make me a better critical thinker. Mm-hmm. But reading has just always informed every aspect of my life, whether it was when I was playing Little League and learning how to read the line scores and following things in the newspaper. I mean, just reading has always been such a big thing. And it makes me sad when I meet people who don't have that love of reading.
I know.
Because I just feel like they're missing out on so much.
Yeah, I just read something the other day. Again, this keeps coming up in the press, that our president doesn't read. It just kills me. I don't understand how you get through the day. Maybe that's why he's so miserable. But
I get completely off kilter if I go a couple of days without reading.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine not reading anything at all.
Right. Jay, you mentioned your aunt giving you books. I had an aunt like that too who, you know, we would go to yard sales and she would buy me all these books that I probably shouldn't have been reading, you know. One in particular she bought me was Peyton Place. She loved that book. And anyway, so it always strikes me how important aunts and grannies are in our culture and how important they are to us. Well, I have read so many great books this year. I think this last year's been the best reading year I've ever had. Literature just keeps offering so much great stuff. And I read, you know, I don't just read stuff that comes out in that year, but I wanted just to talk about the books that came out last year. I read books all over, I don't know, the last 150 years. But the ones that were published in 2017 that I really loved are Days Without End by Sebastian Barry, The Heart's Invisible Furies by John Boyne, The Essex Serpent by Sarah Perry, The Animators by Kayla Ray Whitaker from Kentucky, and Midwinter Break by Bernard McLaverty. Did either of you read any of those?
I've read the Boyne and the Perry.
Yes.
And loved. I mean, both of those had such a rich historical underlayer to them that I was learning more about England and Ireland than I ever thought that I would know about it. So that historical aspect of those.
Right. The Boyne book, The Heart's Invisible Furies, is just such a page-turner. You know, it's sort of like Dickens or John Irving, and so large in scope. And then The Essex Serpent, every single sentence in that is pretty perfect. I mean, I just think it's an amazing novel in that you got almost 400 pages there of, I don't know how many, you know, how many sentences that is, but a lot of perfect sentences. Yeah. It's just beautiful. Did you read any of those, Savannah?
I've read The Animators.
Yeah.
And I really love The Animators.
I think The Animators contains the best portrayal of rural people that I've seen in a long, long time in literature.
Yeah.
It's so complex, and she doesn't romanticize them or vilify them. You know, she just gets at their complexity, and that's the way she gets at their dignity. So that's I love everything about that novel, but that's the main thing that I keep thinking about with The Animators, and I really recommend everybody out there look it up. The Animators by Kelly Ray Whitaker. I think she's from Mount Sterling originally.
She is. I think so.
And lives in Louisville now.
She does a fantastic job just with the complexities, not only of just rural people, but complexities in general in terms of just the complexities of the friendship between the main two characters.
Gender
sexuality, is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
But it's done with such finesse and respect.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fine line with any topic between, you know, making a spectacle of it or just making it look like it's all sunshine and roses.
Right.
And she walks that line very well. And
yes,
so
she does.
I really enjoyed that novel.
Yeah. What are some of y'all's other favorites of the year?
I really love, I've been reading some YA LGBTQ books. And so Girl Man's Up by H.E. Girard is very good. And then Dear Martin, of course, deals with some race issues. And I thought it was just so powerful. I think everyone should read it. But I'm also a poet, and so I should be punished if I don't mention a few poetry books. And so Magdalene by Marie Howe just blew me away. But the book that I've been telling everyone to read in regards to poetry is Don't Call Us Dead by Danae Smith. It's been a long time since I've read a book that has just bowled me over and over, and I keep going back to it. And so it's fantastic.
Say the author's name again.
Danae Smith.
Okay.
And Hunger by Roxane Gay is the other book I would recommend to people. It's a book, it's a memoir. It's about her body, but also about women's bodies and the way we treat them and the way we view them, the way they're portrayed
timely.
In the media. Yeah. So it's, and it opens up a conversation I think we should definitely be having more often. So,
Jay, what about you?
Yeah. My favorites from this past year, Jesse Donaldson's On Homesickness.
Oh, yeah, I love that book.
I mean, his love letter to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I think you blurbed it.
I did.
On the back. I mean, it's just such a wonderful, and it's so accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those 120 short jumps into the essays with it. Gabe Habash, Stephen Florida, which is a coming of age. It's a the way I describe it is what John Irving could do with wrestling novels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a young boy coming of age. There's a lot of identity and being yourself in the world.
And the title is?
Stephen Florida.
Okay.
And Gabe Habash is the author there. And then one of my favorite reads, Emile Ferris's My Favorite Thing is Monsters, a graphic novel. but has a great story character development. But then also you've got a murder mystery thrown in with it. Mm-hmm. And she's actually – the second part of it will be coming out this year in 2018 with that. So that's one that I'm really looking forward to.
Well, as booksellers, you get to read books in advance, six or 7 months before they appear for sale. So what are the books that people should be looking forward to in 2018? I mean, if you've had time, a chance to read them yet. I know it's early in the year.
Yeah, the one that I've read that I'm really looking forward to is Alexander Chee's memoir. Uh-huh. It's a collection of essays for a memoir called How to Write an Autobiographical Novel.
I'm looking forward to that.
It's a beautiful collection of essays. Alexander can just really tap into everyone's experience.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way he writes draws you in, and it's like reminds you of those pieces of your life that go right along parallel with that. And so it's a really good, really good read.
Great.
And then Chris Offit has a new one, Country Dark, coming out that I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. I've read that one. Let me know what you think.
Yeah.
I really loved it. Savannah?
Well, Ada Limon has a new collection of poetry coming
out.
And so I'm excited about that in terms of poetry. But with fiction.
Doesn't everybody just love Ada Limon? Like, the thing about her is just she's so great and her poems.
Yeah. We.
I'm sorry, what were you saying? It. Who else?
Oh, well, I just, in terms of fiction, right now I have your book in my hands.
Oh, good.
Southernmost. And so. I'm excited about it because your novels are something that I use in the classroom, and it's been, 15 years since Clay's Quilt
came out? Oh, yeah.
And so, no, not since you had a book out, but since Clay's Quilt.
It's been about that long since I have an adult title.
Like, my students really love, I mean, I love your work, of course, but my students really love it and relate to it. And so, about halfway through Southernmost.
Oh, good.
And
Thank you for reading it.
I'm excited to use it in the classroom. And so, it's one that the staff and I had to wrestle for.
They can't see it on the radio. Thank you all so much for being here. And you've given us lots of tips on books to be looking for. And I'm encouraging everybody out there to start your year off with a great book. You have a host of indie stores in the region where you can get them, including Briar Books, owned by our guest today. Thanks for joining us here on Hillbilly Solid, and until next time, be good to one another.